Fearless Voyager Radio. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative health care, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager, and I'm very happy to have on my show today, actually talking from Los Angeles via telephone, Sherry. She is an integrated star being, and she is a walk-in from the Star Command. She has conscious access to many realms of interdimensional and universal knowingness. Might be interesting to know that in 1989, she was invited here by the Light Brotherhood to fully integrate into the physical body of a trans channel. This trans channel, I guess, had an accident, an automobile accident, and had requested to leave the earth plane. And so Sherry has subsequently taken over the body. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
All right. Now, why don't we clear up some information for the people that are listening. First of all, what is a walk-in?
Well, first of all, maybe I should talk a little bit about who I am and how the walk-in situation came to be.
Great. Why don't we start with that then?
There's many different philosophies of walk-ins, and Ruth Montgomery had written a book about many thousands of beings walking in into an Earth body. My situation is a little different in that I'm a fully integrated walk-in, which means that the person who wanted to leave basically requested that consciously during an automobile accident. She was a trans channel. And in January 1989, she had a very, very big car accident. Her body was not injured, and her guidance stepped in and basically asked her why she created the accident. And it was in this conversation that she consciously stated that she wanted to leave the Earth plane because she had finished her work here on planet Earth, and really that there was no more need for her to stay back. And as a result, she asked for permission to leave the Earth plane, but also felt that the body, the physical vehicle, had been adjusted to such a point that it was not necessary really for her to actually die, that the physical body was not necessarily should die. What was more important is that there would be a higher level of consciousness having the ability to possibly use the physical vehicle in order to continue with the duties of trans-channeling the energies of Abraham and Malaya, as well as maybe doing some contribution to the Earth plane. It was at that time that I was asked if I wanted to integrate into human form. I am an extraterrestrial from the Star Command. I am part Arcturian and part Pleiadian, and I've been working in the Star Command for approximately 700 or so years. And so it was an opportunity for me to explore the Earth realm and to understand the patterns of human communication and human interactions, and also to remove some of that fear that so many humans have around extraterrestrials. And so the process, the getting to the walk-in stage, took 6 months because the Light Brotherhood wanted to make sure that this person's, this trans channel's intent and integrity was in alignment rather than her wanting to cop out on not wanting to be here on the Earth. So they wanted to make sure that it was definitely orchestrated by the Light Brotherhood, that it was a conscious choice on her behalf. And as a result, on July 14th, 1989, during a workshop that this trans channel was giving, she basically had gotten permission to leave, and her entire soul left from her physical body, and my soul and my light body entered her physical body. And how this took place, how this transition, this exchange of souls, an exchange, full exchange of light bodies took place, was that during that particular workshop, she went out onto a wonderful area, some rocks by the ocean, and she laid herself down, and she was consciously aware of the process. And she said goodbye to the earth, and she had been saying goodbye to her friends very subtly for a period of several months. And it was at that time she basically drifted in an altered state, drifted out of her body, and it was at that time that I was above in one of the, what you call UFOs, I call them shuttlecrafts, and I basically drifted into her physical form, and my soul and my light body drifted into her physical form as her light body and her soul drifted out of her physical form, and so a full transition and took place, a full exchange. So when we're talking of walk-ins, I am what is called a full walk-in. And maybe at this time we should explain the two different types of walk-ins that there are on planet.
All right, before you do that, for those of you who may have just tuned in, this is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager, and we're speaking today with Shari, because it's spelled S-H-A-A-R-I.
It's Shari.
Shari. Okay, I'm going to get this straight.
Well, it's actually the closest translation from the symbols on board the ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Anyway, Shari is, as you're listening, a extraterrestrial walk-in, and we're going to talk a great deal about the reasons that she is here, but we're trying to clear up a little bit of the questions that might start out from those of you who may not be familiar with the term. So why don't we continue then with the two different types of walk-ins?
The first type of walk-in, as I explained, is usually preceded by a life-threatening situation. So a full walk-in is a being that consciously initiates during a life-threatening situation, a desire to leave the earth plane. And it is during that time that this person consciously accesses their higher selves and their guidance and asks for permission to leave and have an exchange, and I mean a complete exchange of souls and light bodies, with letting their light body and soul go up to their oversoul and having a higher level of another soul integrate within their physical form.
So now this is different from, let's call, for those people who think of being possessed, this is quite a bit different because you are, in a sense, inviting an exchange as opposed to having one taking place by an attack.
Exactly. Because this was all consciously orchestrated, and this is also very much monitored by the entire light brotherhood and higher self, because otherwise it is, if you will, a possession. Any involuntary being that comes in and kicks anybody out of their body, that is called a possession. What we're talking about here is the light brotherhood orchestrating this and assisting very much, first of all, with that being wanting to consciously leave the earth plane, and second, assisting in that exchange and that process taking place. And it's usually preceded by an agreement, usually in before they incarnated here. Second, it is preceded by a life-threatening situation where that person comes to conscious realization that they want to leave the earth plane. And thirdly, is that over a period of time, 6, 8 months, or 12 months, or however long, is that that individual is being monitored by the higher self and light brotherhood to make sure that this is not some weird ego trip, but to make sure that the desire to leave outweighs any desire to stay on the earth plane. So that's the one type of walk-in. The second type of walk-in is the type of walk-in that Ruth Montgomery talks about, and that is where the soul of that individual body remains within that physical form. However, parts of that soul leave that have basically completed their cycle here on Earth. So many millions of people may be undergoing a partial walk-in situation where a part of their soul releases from their physical form, from their karmic past, in order to make room to integrate a higher level of themselves or a higher level of their consciousness or a higher level of another energy form or entity.
All right, that's pretty It doesn't. It sounds complicated. I'm sure it's very natural and normal, though, according to the way nature runs everything.
Exactly.
All right. Who are Abraham and Malaya?
Well, Abraham and Malaya are two energies that have basically worked with the trans channel of this physical form that I basically leased for the next 30 years.
I like that. Now you've leased it. Wow.
Yes.
What was the cost for this?
The cost, I guess I'll be presented with a bill at the end after 30 years. But I have leased this physical vehicle for 30 years. And a part of the lease agreement, if you want to call it that, is that I continue some of the work of Abraham and Malaya. Abraham being an aspect of the biblical figure of Abraham, as well as an intergalactic council member. So he's a part of the intergalactic council of 12, which is now surrounding the planet in a form of protection and acceleration. And Malaya is an energy of the goddess, and she very much provides the aspects of integrating higher levels of energies and new consciousness into the Earth plane. So part of my leasing agreement as a walk-in, or as this type of a walk-in, full walk-in, is that I have also taken over some of the duties with Abraham and Malaya to continue some of their teachings in a channeling-type capacity.
All right, let's examine something here. For the listeners again, why don't we just talk a little bit about the Light Brotherhood? What are they, how do they get there, and what do they do?
Well, basically, the Light Brotherhood is composed out of beings that are of the angelic realm, of the ancient and high masters. They are composed out of consciousnesses. They are, if you will, messengers of God and the goddess. They carry with it the information that can be translated. They're almost like a relay station. If you want to look at the Light Brotherhood, they take the energy and the information from God and the goddess, which is limitless, and they translate it down almost like a transformer, and then they transmit it further down into other realms of consciousness. And so they are messengers of God and the goddess. They are very much, they believe in the freedom of choice, the power of creating one's own reality, of co-creating with the rest of the universe. They definitely believe in the light and the love that God and the goddess represent.
All right, that should dispel any myths people might have, at least about the Light Brotherhood. Shari, you talk, I guess, about many, many, many different ideas that to kind of bring clear insight for all of us. Why don't we talk about some of the things that that you're well known for? For example, explaining out-of-body travel and teleportation.
Well, yes. Basically, the out-of-body travel and teleportation is very common up on board the Star Command, and it was very common in Lemuria and Atlantis, and is very common in other dimensions and other universes. What I'd like to say about that, because then many people come and see me and say, well, can't I teleport out of here, or can't I levitate, or can't I just go out-of-body travel? It takes a certain frequency, a certain dynamic with individual to have a vibratory rate, a level of beingness that will facilitate this process. And so some people say, well, can you not teleport? Would teleport being the disassembly of your cellular structure at one given coordinate, place, and time, and the reassembly of your cellular structure at another coordinate, place, and time.
So we're talking about moving the physical body as opposed to, let's say, the astral or
exactly.
Any of the ethereal bodies.
Yes, and moving that physical body throughout time and space and dimensions. And so many people say, well, why can't we do that here yet? Well, part of the reason is that the density on this realm is quite inhibiting, as many of you know, and the concept of totally doing what is called a teleportation process is not guaranteed that you would be able to first of all accomplish that. You would have to have an incredibly high vibratory rate, and there's maybe one or two ancient masters that have been able to do this on the Earth plane in the past. currently there's no one at this stage who's teleporting from here to there. However, there are those who are involved in the area of psychic surgery that are really producing a teleportation effect on a very localized area of the physical body. So they can take the area of the physical body, localize it in a certain distinct area, wherever the pain may be or the obstruction may be, and they, through their hands, accelerate the vibratory rate of their hands, that the molecular structure of their hands basically become very fluid, and so that they're able to penetrate the skin without necessarily causing any blood or causing any marks to show up. They change the cellular structure of their hands and simultaneously change the cellular structure through their vibratory rate of that individual laying down on that table.
Now tell me something. Could we know the names of people who are good at this versus the ones who just claim to be able to do this?
I wouldn't be able to tell you as far as here on the earth plane.
I see. We're not talking about the earth plane.
Well, no, I am saying, I'm making a reference to how it is experienced on the earth plane.
But my experience is,
I don't know people who are really good. I haven't had the experience with earthlings here.
Okay. It would be good to know that. That's probably an interesting, important question.
Yeah. So basically what the point I'm trying to make is that teleportation can occur here, but only in localized areas and localized areas of the physical body, and that is usually experienced in the area of psychic surgery. And as a full walk-in, the point I'd also like to make, there's only between 100 and 150 full walk-ins on the earth plane at this time that have undergone a full transition of souls.
Now, do you stay connected with them?
I know some of them, and I do recognize them. I'm beginning to be in contact with the others. Some of them are not from the Star Command, so some of them I wouldn't know. They're from other consciousnesses. All right? Walk-in is an extraterrestrial.
We're going to have to clear up the title Star Command in a few minutes, but why don't we continue with the teleportation?
All right. Let us continue with the teleportation.
Okay.
Now, let us go to out-of-body travel. Many beings travel out-of-body, and it is basically a process by which through breath, through the process of breathing, one accelerates the vibratory rate and makes a distinction between the physical form, your density of your physical form, and the light body that is inside of you. And that can be done by the slowing or the accelerating of your breath, creating a harmony within yourself. And basically the point I want to make is that the light body, consisting also of the soul, can at this point in time leave the physical form if the vibratory rate and the harmony of between the physical body and the light body produce a certain synchronicity. At that point in time, the physical form basically almost remains lifeless and dormant. It almost remains in what is called a comatose-like state. It is the breathing is almost non-existent. The body feels extremely heavy and lifeless. And when that rhythm is created through the breath, that particular light body is able to float out, float above the physical form. Many of you have had those experiences. And as such, see your physical form laying there as you then drift through the ceiling of your room, through the house, and wherever you may be going. And so some people have described this process as having a silver cord around themselves. I personally do not have a silver cord around myself. Every night when I lay the physical body down, I do not go to sleep. But rather what I do is I do this breathing process, and then I leave with my light body, and I basically leave out of the physical form, go straight up into the ship.
All right, so let's talk then right now. What is the Star Command, and what is the purpose of the Star Command?
Well, the Star Command is, it's like a service department to the Light Brotherhood. We are composed of many beings from many dimensions, from many universes, from many intergalactic races of extraterrestrials. The amount of beings are not always, as some of you always see in your picture, your alien extraterrestrial magazines, they're not just 3.5 feet tall, gray, and have big eyes.
Okay.
There are many different forms of extraterrestrials.
Have as many forms of extraterrestrials as we have of, let's say, different forms of biological forms here, like animals and human beings, etc.?
Almost. Not as much. It's almost like having many, many more species. If you can combine, let's say, the mammal kingdom and the humanoid kingdom,
okay,
it would be sort of that kind of an equivalent.
All right, because we see a difference between the mammal kingdom and the humanoid kingdom.
Yes.
All right. Whereas you're saying that your kingdom is basically the same intelligence, but different
Different
bodies.
Shapes and forms.
Okay.
And so getting back to the question that you were asking, what is the Star Command? Well, we are like a service department, and our function is very much to empower other races, other consciousnesses, to seek a sense of knowingness of the rest of the universe, to seek a sense of self-reliance and co-creation with the rest of the universe, and to work with the Light Brotherhood, the archangels and all of the high-level guidance, to assist individuals and to assist different planets and different constellations in achieving a higher level of consciousness. So what we do is, in working with the Light Brotherhood, is that the Light Brotherhood basically gives us an assignment and says, go to the left side of planet Earth and go over to the Middle East and basically send energy and send light and send sound and send color and frequency to the areas of the Middle East in order to dissipate some of the negative thought that is going on there. So we do a lot of what you may term as light therapy, vibratory therapy, and sound therapy. And so we're really in this sector, the Star Command around the planet Earth, is very much receiving direct instructions from the Light Brotherhood as to how to assist the healing process of Mother Earth in her transition into the next century.
I hear quite often that Sananda is the Star Commander Chief. Is that correct?
Well, he's definitely one of the top higher-ups. He's the head of the Intergalactic Council of 12. And as such, he's the one, Sananda, also known as Jesus, along with Buddha, Krishna, who provide some real stringent and very loving directives as to what the Star Command may do and what they may not do.
So there must be a misunderstanding then as to who these people were as far as we are concerned. Is that correct? I mean,
no.
I mean, the reason I say that is because I don't think anyone thought of Jesus as being an extraterrestrial.
No, he isn't.
Oh, okay, he's not.
He isn't, no.
All right.
No. You have to remember, if you look at Jesus and Sananda, Buddha, Krishna, the Light Brotherhood, as upper management.
Okay.
We are like a service department.
Okay, all right, I got it. That's good. So, and now this new name that Jesus has as Sananda, why has changed his name?
Well, it isn't new. That has always been his name.
So his name has always been Sananda.
Oh, yes. Everyone calls him Sananda.
So why did we call him Jesus?
Well, that's one of the names that he was given here, Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay.
And so that basically stuck with him.
All right, so that's a name that he was given, not that
yes.
He necessarily said that was his name.
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's continue then.
All right. Well, basically stating that the Star Command is composed out of so many different beings, and we are here to assist many other constellations and consciousnesses and planets in their evolution as the Light Brotherhood deems appropriate how we should assist them. So as a service department, we're very much guided by Sananda as head of the Intergalactic Council of 12, which is a council that was set up particularly around planet Earth for her transition into the next millennium. And part of that is because she is a pioneer, and she, meaning the Earth, has chosen this evolutionary process. She has chosen not to self-destruct herself, and as such, she is choosing to become, if you will, the university of the universe. She is wanting to host many other beings, or give many other beings the opportunity of visiting Earth in a very harmonious and co-creative way. And in order for this to happen, that's why the Intergalactic Council has been established, in order to communicate to the human realm as to what is required as far as the up-leveling of consciousness of the souls that have integrated into human form here on Earth.
Now, a lot of people think of themselves as being more important than the Earth. You're saying the Earth has chosen this and that we are kind of riding on her.
You've got it.
Okay.
Yes. It's sort of like we're riding on the Earth, and the Earth basically is a consciousness. She is not some sort of little planet mass of rocks, and she has a soul. She has chakras. She has a vision. She wants to evolve as well. And that's where the Star Command comes in for her protection. And how the Star Command became involved with her was that after the destruction of Atlantis, that there was such a shift, an orbital shift some 25,000 years ago, that she really needed some protection. And it was at that time that the Light Brotherhood was asked to build a network, a grid network, along with the Star Command, around her ozone layer, to protect her orbital structure so that she could advance with her own vision, with her own process.
So you're saying that the Earth was in possibly dire need of some help. I mean, it was that she was about ready to disintegrate or something? Or?
She was about ready to lose orbit, and it's like losing control. It's like for an individual losing her mind. And that happened after the destruction of Atlantis, when there was such a negative explosion of energy that it did knock her off balance. And this grid network that the Star Command built under the direction of the Light Brotherhood is a triangular configuration that is almost like a fishnet stocking that assists the planet in her transformation. Mm-hmm. And so the Intergalactic Council, going back a little bit, that is working with the Light Brotherhood, or as a part of the Light Brotherhood and with the Star Command, are very much here to try and assist not only humanity, but also planet Earth in this transition. And so there's much misunderstanding about extraterrestrials and aliens and species from other dimensions, and many of the media have only picked up on the more negative element of what extraterrestrials are, what kind of shapes they are, what they do. And most of these Roslin incidences, most of these incidences where there's been abductions and animal mutilations are not produced by members of the Star Command. In fact, are not at all produced by members of the Star Command. They're produced by a fraction of extraterrestrials that, after the destruction of Atlantis, chose not to participate with the Star Command. They chose to split away from the Star Command, to not abide by the universal law of co-creation and honoring the individual choice. They chose, because of their experiences in Atlantis, where they learned some more manipulative techniques on working with crystals and teleportation and astral travel and tapping into the thought waves of individuals, they really became addicted to that power of manipulation. So those extraterrestrials, as many of you may know, they are little gray fellows. They are maybe 3.5-4 feet tall, very large eyes, very gray angular structures. They don't have any luminosity to them, meaning they don't emanate a glow. They almost look rubbery-like. These are the ones that are very often responsible for the abductions that you hear about, that you read about, and they're also masters of holograms. So they create incredible holograms for individuals that have a certain sense of fear and vulnerability within them. And because they create these holograms, they're able to tap into the vulnerability of that individual. And if you will, create an illusion that this person has, that they're actually going up on board, that and that they're being infiltrated sexually and being prodded and things taken out of them and needles behind the eye.
Why do they do this?
They do this because the element of fear, going back to Atlantis, these extraterrestrials that split away from the Star Command, they are addicted, literally addicted to the process of manipulation and fear. it goes back. When
so they like to they get a kick out of doing this.
They get an adrenaline rush. That's as close as I can get to. So any time an individual that has been abducted re-experiences this whole horrific illusion, and I'm not saying that everyone has had the illusion. I'm just saying that some people were abducted physically, and some of them were abducted in their sleep patterns or in their light bodies, regardless of what the experience may have been, that every time there is a catharsis, every time there's a reliving of that experience, they literally draw upon that adrenaline rush. It is a direct connector to the Renegades, which is that sector that chose to split away from the Star Command that is most known for these incidences of abduction and animal mutilation.
Now, you yourself are a holographic healer.
Yes, I am.
So you would know quite a bit about this holographic technique that they use.
Yes, and they're masters at it. My holographic technique, I tend to use up on board. I work in what's called a crystal chamber. It is filled. It's a dodecahedron type shape.
For our listeners, what would that basically look like?
Well,
how many sides are we talking about?
We're talking 12 different sides. It's almost like the shape of a natural molecule, except the floor is flat and is lit from underneath.
Hmm.
All right. And in the center, you have very large crystals, three very large crystals that individuals can step in. And the walls and the ceilings, which are all angular, almost like I said, the shape of one of your molecules, universal molecules, is filled with different symbols and with different crystals that are all around the wall. What we do in there is that we create a hologram that best fits the accelerated process of that individual to basically transform themselves and be able to travel interdimensionally more with ease and grace and to create through thought much, much more purely than what otherwise they may be able to. So if you want to call it a healing chamber that eliminates or basically bypasses the difficulties of processing difficulties in their own state of beingness, you can use the holograms to accelerate an individual's personal growth regardless of where their origin may be from.
Now, who uses this and why is it used and who is it used on?
Well, it is used on any being, first of all, because I'm being from the Star Command. Any being who wishes to be healed in there can actually request and go into these chambers and receive these symbols that awaken a higher vibratory rate within their particular light body.
So how does a person ask for that?
Well, those of you who are meditating, you can ask for it in your meditations, but those who are up on board, they literally make an appointment and they go and see a holographic healer. There's many of us working in these chambers up on board the ship, and they can ask what they're having difficulty in manifesting and what levels of consciousness or what levels of dimensions that they want to reach. Up on board the Star Command, it's more used for interdimensional travel rather than for reality creation, because up on board the ship, you don't have time, you don't have space, and so as such, everything is a product of thought. So if your thought isn't clear, the manifestations won't be clear either.
Right, I understand that one.
And so up on board, because everything happens instantaneously, because there isn't thought, there isn't time, what you create is very much, needs to be very pure. And as such, these holograms are used to accelerate the individuals into other dimensions and into other levels of consciousness.
So let's continue now, Shari, talking about the different forms, and perhaps let's talk about your form.
Well, my form is quite delightful. Is that I'm approximately 5'8 to 6'4 because I can change my height.
Now, you were not talking about your physical form.
No, right. I'm talking about my light body form.
So your light body can change its size.
Yes, it's those of you who've seen Cocoon, to give you a frame of reference. I look like those beings, however, my eyes are extremely large. I don't have any pupils, so my eyes are almost all pupil. You know, it's all dark.
All black, right.
Yes. I do have a nose, I have a mouth, but I don't need the mouth to communicate with. We do it with telepathy. However, I use the mouth for toning and sound. And so my physical density can range anywhere from being a vaporous mist to almost a rubbery type or spongy type density. And most of the time, I'm somewhere halfway in between because it allows me more rapid movement and a sense of groundedness when I'm on board the ship. My color is very much, the skin seems to be a whitish but not gray, a whitish color, and this is the distinction I'd like to make. The renegades, those beings who abduct, who are not a part of the Star Command, they're very gray, and they don't have any luminosity. Beings from the Star Command have luminosity, meaning that they literally glow. So although my skin is white, I have a pinky violet glow coming from me. And some beings have more of a turquoisey, purpley glow coming from them. So there's a real sense of glow and luminosity, almost translucency at times coming from these beings. And so on board the ship, you have many who are my size, 5'8 to 6'4. There's some very tall ones who are 7'4, who are some of them, very few of them, one or two, have blondish type hair. Others are, however, have exactly the same structure. And again, you need to look for the luminosity. They have a really warm, wonderful glow coming from them. They also have the big eyes, and they also communicate with telepathy. And there's also other beings on board the ship. Many of you see, well, the extraterrestrials we know are only the little gray ones. No, those are the renegades. There's other extraterrestrials that look like praying mantis. Those are almost like your earth stick bugs that you have here, mm-hmm. like tree bugs. And they are wonderful neon-colored, pastel-y neon-colored, that have this incredible glow, and they communicate through dance. And there's other beings, for those of you who saw The Abyss, that structure that talked to the humans there, that could take any kind of a shape. There are beings that look similar to that, that can assume any kind of a shape. And again, the luminosity is very important. There's also consciousnesses who work on board the Star Command. They don't take any shape, but rather float around either as a ball of light or as a vaporous mist, a rainbow-colored vaporous mist. So there's many different beings that work on board the Star Command. And so right now, my objective is to remove some of that fear that's here on the Earth about abductions and say, hey, that's the exception to the rule. Those are the beings that chose not to be a part of the Star Command. There is much more out there, and the true Star Command is working with the Light Brotherhood, and we are there for your own personal choice, for your own growth, and we're wanting to communicate, and we're wanting to learn from you. And so this is what I'm here trying to do on these shows as well as in our workshops.
Now, who is responsible for these the circles in the wheat fields?
The Star Command is.
That's the Star Command.
Yes, we have a tape out called "Mysterious Markings on the Earth's Surface," and basically, what it is, it's the Star Command monitoring the radiation and pollution levels on the Earth. They're also produce these symbols on the bottom of the craft, and it's not that they press down, but the electromagnetic energy as the shuttlecraft hovers over these certain localized areas is that they bring forth the same symbology on the underside of the craft and sends an electromagnetic beam which basically crushes all the wheat fields and all of produces an impression on the Earth's surface and goes beyond the Earth's surface into the core, presenting or infusing the Earth's core with different colors of light and different colors of sounds. And so if you look at these mysterious markings, these crop circles, as almost acupressure points, and that the Star Command is going and checking the radiation level and pollution level at these acupressure points of the Earth's ley lines, and in addition to, they are also infusing, meaning bringing in energies of a higher consciousness and literally doing a transfusion of a higher levels of energy directly into the ley lines.
There is so much to talk about. Let's quickly talk about a teleportation chamber, because you and I spoke about that.
Yes, a teleportation chamber. Many of you who've traveled the earth and who've gone to some sacred temples have seen round slabs, all right? They are maybe a foot and a half or 2 feet across, and they're just circles. And people have said, well, maybe they're the basis of pillars, or maybe they're the, what, they don't know what it is. Well, those are teleportation chambers. They are usually made out of rock. They're round slabs. And beings of other dimensions, whether they're from the Star Command or from the Light Brotherhood, would stand on these pillars, and they would accelerate their vibratory rate to such a point that they would be able to literally teleport, which means disassembly of cellular structure at one place and time and reassembly of cellular structure at another place and time. They would be able to do that. So if you go through your sacred temples throughout the world, you will see that they are these round, mysterious slabs that nobody can explain. And these are teleportation chambers. One of them has an upward vortex, meaning that you can go upward into other dimensions, and the other one has a downward spiraling vortex, meaning other beings can come into the earth plane from other dimensions. And as some of you may be taking vacations this year, try that and see how you feel the vibratory energies of these two different types of slabs that are occurring.
Can you tell us where we might find some of those?
Oh, you can find them in Egypt, in Aswan. There are two wonderful large ones that are very, very powerful. There are some at Machu Picchu, in the lower part of, the main part of Machu Picchu. Up there are two very small ones, and they're very, very powerful as well. And Mexico, in the Yucatan Peninsula, has several as well. So you'll see them all over all over the world where there's sacred temples.
Shari, I want to thank you very much for being on the Timeless Voyager.
Well, I want to thank you. It was a pleasure and a delight.
All right, and if you could hold on, I'll talk to you for a moment. And for those of you who are listening to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager, and I want to wish all of you a very, very happy day.